To our friends and our guests, we welcome you this morning, and we thank you for joining us here at the Southeast Church of Christ. And to our brethren as well, we are grateful for your presence, and we pray that everything that we do in spirit and in truth may be pleasing in the sight of our holy God. Thank you for being here this morning. We're going to take a quick pause from our quarterly theme this Sunday. I know that we've been studying about our relationship in Christ, but as you know, today is the fifth Sunday, and our elders graciously allow me in the evenings to go and visit our sister congregations. Since tonight we'll be having a guest speaker, actually, who will be arriving tonight and filling in for me, I decided to go ahead and take a bit of a breather, if you will, from what we have been seeing. And if you will, please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we'll be reading from verses 6 through 10. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we bow before Thy presence, Lord. We bow at Thy feet and we give, Father, all honor and glory to Thee. Thank You, Father, for granting us this day of worship in which, Father, we may focus on Thee and on Thy Word, seeking not only, Father, to send forth our thanksgiving because of Thy grace and because of the many blessings Thou pour, but Father, to also be mutually edified, Lord, through every act of these worship, Lord. Father, we pray that we have done so in a manner that is pleasing in Thy sight, and that not only have we done it with the right mindset, Father, but that also we have been able to be edified from it. Father, we ask that You be with this Thy servant. Allow me to speak as Thy oracle, and allow me, Father, to share of Thy word as Thou have allowed me to glean from it. Father, that my conduct in my life may speak louder than my words, and that, Father, my light, Father, may shine brightly before men for the glory and honor of Thee. Be with us, Father, and forgive us when we have sinned against Thee, when we have failed You. For we pray this in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me read verse 10 once more to you. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. When we stop to think about which congregations were established there in this region of Macedonia, we are able to confirm that indeed the conclusion was the correct one. See, we read about this section and we always focus more on the vision itself. We call this section the Macedonian Call. And we always focus on this from the perspective of the need to go and evangelize, the need and to go and to spread the gospel. And although these are good aspects of taking from this scripture, that is not the approach that I want you and I to take this morning. If you paid attention to our title, we've entitled our lesson this morning, Macedonia's Indelible Print. Now when we talk about this, we have to first understand what does this mean. But when we talk about an indelible print, it means that it is something like no other. It is something that is unique, and it is a print that was left that cannot be changed, and it is unique to a specific person or region. For example, our fingerprints are indelible. They cannot be replicated. They cannot be copied, in other words. We all have unique fingerprints. It's amazing when we stop to think that a child does not inherit the fingerprints from their parents, but rather they have their own fingerprints that identifies them and also tells us whom or where they came from. When we talk about the region of Macedonia, brethren, we have to remember that this was the old kingdom of Alexander the Great. Philip II of Macedon, Alexander's father, is known and recognized by history as the monarch who united the Greek city-states. He was the one that made Macedonia the kingdom that later led to Alexander building up into the Greek Empire. That third empire that was seen in Nebuchadnezzar's vision there in Daniel chapter 2. But this empire, brethren, this region of the world would come to be instrumental when it came to the spreading of the gospel. Because it is interesting that Alexander's dream, as it is told by historians, was to unite the East and the West and to put away the fighting and bring forth peace. The idea that Alexander had was to unite the world through the Greek influence, and that the Greek influence would permeate every culture. The Septuagint is an evidence of Alexander's desire. Although Alexander was already dead by the time that the Hebrew Bible had been translated into the Greek Koine, we see that the one of his generals, Ptolemy, who began to embark on this journey, decided to do so honoring his old king's desires. When we see this, brethren, we see then that Macedonia was always a very interesting and very pivotal section of the world. We often wonder and ask ourselves, why did the Spirit not allow them to go into Asia? What was going on in Asia at this time? What reason did God not allow them to go? I've read commentaries written by members of the church that perhaps it was because God was trying to prevent them from seeing what the world was there in that area. But the reality is that the Bible does not give us specifics as to why, other than what we have here inspired by Luke to have written. And if you pay attention to the context very closely, well, what I can glean from this is that the reason was that Macedonia was pivotal and more important in that point in time. And as I mentioned, the three cities that we're going to be focusing on this morning, you will see why God told them, no, you have to go here first. You see, when we talk about Macedonia, brethren, we have to remember that it was a region of the world where we find the city of Berea, where we find the city of Philippi, and where we find the city of Thessalonica. The Bereans, the Philippians, and the Thessalonians. These three, brethren, cities, where we then also understand them to be these churches, were of the Macedonians. In fact, we see that Philippi was the first European city where God brought forth first fruits of His kingdom. You see, Macedonia, brethren, was the entry gate that led the gospel into all of Europe. But when we begin to understand this and we begin to piece everything together, brethren, we are going to see through Berea, through Philippi, and through Thessalonica how this Macedonian call left this indelible print. Because till this day, these three churches, brethren, these three congregations that were established there, serve as an example to us today in the 21st century. They serve as congregations that are worthy to be understood and to be imitated by faithful congregations throughout the world. If you will, go to chapter 17 with me in verses 10 through 12. We see in verses 10 through 12 the congregation there at Berea. Again, these three congregations, Berea, Philippi, and Thessalonica, were all Macedonian. They were all of the Greek influence, and they were all from that region where Paul saw that vision come through. Observe the indelible print left by Berea. Chapter 17, verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. When we see Berea, brethren, the first Macedonian city that you and I are going to see this morning, we see that in Berea, we find the example of true righteousness. We find the example of true righteousness. What we see, brethren, is that the brethren there at Berea, when they were still in Judaism, did not deny Paul the opportunity to present his case to them. We see that the Bible says that they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. The pronoun those is in reference to the Jews from the synagogues in Thessalonica who persecuted Paul, who rose against him out of envy, as we see in verse 5 through verse 9. But these Jews who we see that Paul went and arrived and went into the synagogue, verse 10, verse B, we see that they were more willing to listen. Their righteousness was true, not only because they allowed Paul to speak to them, but they did not take Paul's words at face value simply because it was the great apostle Paul. We see, brethren, in verse 11, that they received the word with all readiness. They were eager. They had the delight and they had the desire. They were one ready to listen to Paul. But not only to listen to him and just accept it and go with it as if it were all true, but their readiness and their eagerness was shown to be not in wanting to have their ears tickled, but in actually wanting to do what was right in the eyes of God. Because we read in the second part of verse 11 that they searched the scriptures daily. Now notice with what purpose and what intent? To find out whether these things were so. Now consider what things were they trying to make sure that they were so. Well, go back a few verses with me in chapter 17, in verse 3. Well, verse 2 and verse 2. Verse 2 and verse 3. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Do you think that Paul was going to enter into the synagogue of Berea and give them a different message? No. He was giving them the same message. And the message was, our Messiah has arrived. Jesus is the Christ we've been waiting for. But not only is he is the Christ that we've been waiting for, Jesus had to suffer and die at the hands of the chief priests. The Thessalonians, the Jews in Thessalonica, were not ready to hear this. They were not ready to accept this truth. But the Bible says that those in Berea were. Because it wasn't about upholding the traditions of their fathers. It wasn't about simply holding on to their customs and their beliefs. Their readiness, their true righteousness is doing what is right and honoring God. We see that the Bereans, brethren, present to us a spirit of true righteousness. What mindset are we attending our worship services with? What mindset are we attending our Bible classes with, our devotionals, our gospel meetings, and so on and so forth? Our fellowships, when we gather together to break bread, what is the mindset that we have? Are we entering with the readiness of wanting to do what is right? Are we entering with the eagerness and the delight of wanting to speak one another songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? The Bereans, brethren, provide for us a paradigm of what God declares as true righteousness. Because they did not dismiss Paul because he was a Christian. They did not dismiss Paul because he was a traitor to the Jews. But rather they had to listen to what he had to say. But the opposite is just as true. They didn't accept it because he was a Jew, a Pharisee of Pharisees. They didn't accept it because he was from the tribe of Benjamin. They didn't accept it because they had heard of what Paul had done at Ephesus. Instead, their attitude was, whatever you tell us, it has to come from Scripture and it has to be rightly divided. Today, brethren, we would say book, chapter, and verse. But I warn you, even if they give you book, chapter, and verse, it is your responsibility to make sure that it has been rightly divided. In Berea, brethren, we see that the indelible print left by this Macedonian congregation is that print of true righteousness. We have to be and we have to imitate them in this way, no matter who's speaking, no matter where they're coming from, whether they are unknown or whether they are famous. We have to be ready to hear what they have to present, and we have to search our scriptures daily to make sure that it is God's word that is speaking and not a man trying to transform it into his puppet. We then go, brethren, to the church in Philippi. Go with me to the letter written to the Philippians. The letter written to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning there at verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but that I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. The Philippians, brethren, show us the indelible print of love and benevolence. A love for the ministry of God, and a benevolence toward their brethren. Observe their desire, brethren, from Philippi, for the ministry to continue. Paul declares there in verse 15 and in verse 16 that they sent aid to him so that he could continue to preach the gospel. Not only did they support him while he was there in Philippi, but they even sent him to Thessalonica. And the Bible says that it wasn't a one-time thing. It says, once and again for my necessities. We don't want you to have to work, Paul. Your work is much important. What you are doing is too important for you to lose focus because you need to find a way to provide for your necessities. We will take care of you, and you take care of preaching the gospel. Philippi gives us the example of love for the gospel and benevolence toward one another. Brethren, we see how Paul says in verse 18 that this was a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You put this into perspective with what Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And you read how there the churches in Macedonia, who were in deep poverty, not only gave, but they gave beyond their own measure. Philippi was one of those congregations. Berea was another one, and Thessalonica. Because observe that Paul does not say only one, but rather he says the churches at Macedonia. Philippi, brethren, is one that we know for sure, because Paul here is declaring, I have received what you sent through Epaphroditus' hand. And not that I'm looking for more, but rather I'm thanking God that you did to begin with. Brethren, before we start talking about what to do with the building, we should be focusing on how to keep the ministry going, how to keep the gospel continuing to be spread, how to make sure that those servants of God, not only here amongst us, but also out there who have need, if we can provide for them, that should be our top priority. We should love the gospel, but we should be benevolent toward our brethren. We should be ready to cover for the necessities of our brother or our sister who needs that aid if that's what it's going to help them to be here and be fed to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We shouldn't wait for them to ask. Paul, brethren, did not ask. The Philippians offered. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 once again declares this. They insisted on helping Paul. And the reason? Because they gave themselves over to the Lord and to us as the apostle. Brethren, we spoke this morning in our class about giving over to God. But we also have to understand that as we study this, we have to give over to one another. We have to want, as we stated, we have to want to work together. We have to want to cooperate. If there is no longer that unity amongst us, if there is no longer that desire to want to work together, we're going to do more harm than good. The Philippians wanted to participate in the ministry of Paul. The Philippians wanted to take care of him. They wanted to contribute whatever small they could because they loved God and they loved His servants. Thus we see the indelible print of Berea and true righteousness. We see the indelible print in Philippi of love for the gospel and benevolence toward the servants of the gospel. But if you will now go with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Beginning there at verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Notice, brethren, how the church in Thessalonica has left that print, that indelible print of perseverance, even among trials. Do you recall how the gospel arrived Thessalonica? Do you recall that when they received the gospel, Acts chapter 17, verse 5 and forward teaches us, chapter 16, verse 5 and 4 teaches us. No, it is 17, I'm sorry. That they were persecuted because the Jews became envious. And when Paul, they were not able to grab him, they went and they assaulted Jason's house. And they dragged Jason to the magistrates, trying to accuse him of committing a crime against Caesar. You would be naive to believe that when the magistrates decided not to pursue, that that's where the persecution ended. No. Because what happens is when they found out that Paul was at Berea, they went all the way to Berea to disrupt Paul's ministry there. These people, brethren, were not going to stop. And even though the church there was established, they continued to fight against it. They continued to oppose it. They continued to persecute and trouble the church in Thessalonica. A congregation which we can take and infer from Scripture, which Paul only had 3 weeks to work with. In 3 weeks he established it, and he worked with them, and he taught them, because he was ran out. He was not given the time that he would have preferred, what was ideal. And yet this newborn babe, this infant congregation, learned about perseverance, and they remained faithful to God. Observe the endurance that they had. Observe once more how the Bible says that their perseverance, their patience and faith, and all of their persecutions and tribulations were so much so that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy boasted about them. They would point to Thessalonica, to the congregations that wanted to give up. And they would tell them, look at their example and follow it. A congregation with whom we could not work as much as we wanted, with whom we could not spend as much time as we desired, and yet they thrived. They thrived under pressure. And not only that, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Notice what they were able to do even in the midst of all the affliction. Beginning at verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. They received it in affliction, in much affliction, but they rejoiced. So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. How incredible, a congregation that only had the Apostle Paul for 3 weeks made Paul's job so easy. We don't even need to go back to evangelize the region. You know what to do and you're doing it. You simply understood, follow our example. Do as they did when they were here. And that's how we are going to spread the gospel as they gave us the gospel. Thessalonians didn't need a deep theological understanding. They simply needed to know what the gospel is and what it has the power to do. They did not shy away from problems. They did not run away from struggles. But they endured, they persevered. And the Bible says they did it with joy in the Holy Spirit. They were witnesses of how Paul was run out of the city. But they also heard how Paul did not stop preaching in Berea. How he continued even though his life was being threatened. So they became imitators. And that they continued even though their lives were going to be made miserable by the inhabitants that they were surrounded by. So we see, brethren, that indeed it was necessary because Macedonia became a very fruitful and fertile soil for the Apostle Paul, for Silas and Timothy. Because from this region we found Berea, we found Philippi, and we found Thessalonica, says the Apostle Paul. A congregation who was truly righteous. A congregation that loved the gospel and his servants, and a congregation who knows how to persevere even in the most severest of persecutions. Indeed, Macedonia left an indelible print, a print that we would do wise to follow and to imitate. Because as Christians, brethren, we must be truly righteous by allowing the Word of God to be our rule to follow. We have to love God's Word and love His servants. But we have to persevere in all affliction, but with joy, with gladness in our hearts, knowing that God is there with us. My friend, this morning, you can be truly righteous. You can find joy by obeying the gospel call that Christ makes to you. You can follow the example of these three Macedonian congregations. Because we have to preach the gospel to you because it is necessary. Because it is important. You need God. And we as a church need you to work together with us. But you have to be willing to accept this invitation this morning. Thus, if there's anyone here present who's ready to accept this call from our God, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we stand.